Blog Talk Radio.
Stop the music. That's not how I start this show. Where'd that come from? Let's start it the way I normally start it.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everybody. And yes, this is the Master Plan. I am JT. And as always, I started off with some old school music. And this time, it's a little bit of cameo with an old school song called Back and Forth. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Chat room is always open for your convenience. If you'd like to relate to anything that you want to say in the chat room, it's there for you. We're going to be talking about some baseball, maybe a little football, and anything else I think that comes on top of my head. But first, let's listen to a little cameo, and I'll be right back. Yes, I'm back. I am back. Like I said, that was a little bit of cameo. And that was a little bit of back and forth. And like I said, this is little JT, and this is a Master Plan. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is where you always catch me. And I appreciate you listening. Today, we're going to be talking about a little bit of things here. Let's be talking about some baseball first, okay? I talked about some baseball. I talked about, I think, the first 50 guys, including pitchers, that I thought were the top 50. You may differ on where I think they are, but this is how I feel. This is my opinion. This is my show. Now, if you want to call in, I gave you the number. You want to talk about it, I'll give you an opportunity. Chat room, phone call. You call it, you make it. Anyway, let's talk about breaking it down like this. Let's talk about pitchers first. A little bit of pitchers, a little bit of starters, a little bit of relievers. Okay? Now, there's always been a big dog for number one dog for a while. He's always been from the Bulldog from Detroit. But in my opinion, this year, even though he's coming back from a little bit of surgery, I think this boy is the number one dog with a stacked team of everyday players. I think the left-hander who led the baseball in ERA for the second straight season and finished runner-up to R.A. Dickey in the Cy Young race. I think Clayton Kershaw is going to be the number one pitcher. I think he's going to average his 200 something strikeouts, 230 strikeouts. like he's done over the last three seasons. I think his ERA is going to be in the sub-threes because he's done it four straight times, and I think he's not going to turn, not going to change. He's only 25 people, so he's got a long way to go. And I think he's going to win about close to 20 games. I really think that with about definitely 200-plus strikeouts and a whip, just a little over little 1.06, somewhere around there, 1.10, give or take. But I think with that lineup, he's going to win a lot of games, and he's going to keep the Dodgers in a lot of games. I think Don Mattingly's going to be real happy with Clayton Kershaw, and I think whoever drafts him, his average draft position is like 17 and a half, which just puts him in the second round of a 12-team draft. Probably would put him in close to the first round in a 14-team draft, or very extremely early second round. If it's a 14 team, it's probably early second round. 12 team is probably still a second round, but it's a mid second round. But I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week: you don't draft a pitcher in the first round. Just like I said in fantasy football, you don't draft a quarterback in the first round. Some people do. Some people have that affinity. Some people want that surefire quarterback. Well, just like Clayton Kershaw and some of these other pitchers, ace pitchers that I'm going to name, you don't have to, because the depth of the pitching, just like the depth of quarterback play in the NFL and Major League Baseball, is so deep and is getting deeper that you in Major League Baseball, you go after your high ticket, your big time everyday players first, and then pick up pitching after that. With NFL, and I'm making these two analogies, just like in the fantasy football, fantasy baseball, everybody gets the glamour position, which is the pitcher for one, and the quarterback for another in the NFL. Everybody wants to grab the big name pitcher or the big name quarterback first. A lot of people do. It's foolish. It's foolish because right then you're trying to play catch up. You're going in the second round. All your big time, a lot of your big time players are gone in the first round because you took a pitcher or you took a quarterback in the first round rather than take a solid running back, because the solid running back's position is not as deep as the quarterback position is in the NFL. Just like, I wouldn't say just like, but the pitching is very deep, and you can catch jewels late in the rounds that can make up for not having a Clayton Kershaw, a Justin Verlander, or Steven Strasburg, or something like that. You don't have to have them. Some people are going to pick them up because they have that need to have them. Or do you want to win the league? Or do you want to have big-time players and be a runner-up? Trust me when I say this. I started this strategy for my first time last year, and it worked start to finish. I'm going to keep on saying this, start to finish. Maybe it was a fluke. I don't think it was a fluke. I think I had a pretty sound strategy, and it worked. You take your pitchers later. You take your pitchers later. Load up on your everyday players. And let the other person take that big-name pitcher. Okay, he's got Justin Verlander. He's got Clayton Kershaw. Okay. That's only one guy. Okay? You pick up a Matt Kemp. You pick up a Mike Trout, Ryan Braun, or somebody of that stature in the first round. Let somebody else pick up a pitcher. Don't do it. Don't do it. But Clayton Kershaw, in my opinion, I see him as being the number one, and let me say this: barring injury, all these projections, all these things I'm saying are barring catastrophic injuries. Sure, pitchers, because it's the nature of the beast, they get banged up, things happen, they get soreness, pull a muscle, light strain, things like that, it happens. But for the most part, overall, these other pitchers I think are going to be solid pitchers, not the type of pitchers that you pick up. Because I'm going to give you the average draft position of all these pitchers I'm going to be talking about. And none of them, and I repeat, I'll say it again, none of them are as high in the average draft position as the first two pitchers. Everyone else is in the second round, third round, fourth round, and so on. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. This is what I'm saying. You don't take a pitcher in the first round. And only, and believe me, I say this, and probably won't, I won't do it. You don't take a pitcher in the second round. Okay? There's too much pitching to go around for you to do that. So let's move on. My second pitcher that, now, you know that he doesn't fall far from the tree. All right? Everybody's, for the last few years, the number one pitcher was Justin Verlander. Well, in my opinion, he's taken the second position. There's nothing wrong with the second position, but I think Clayton Kershaw, he's 24 years old, soon to be 25 this year, and I think he's going to have a huge season, especially as loaded as the Los Angeles Dodgers are in the bullpen. I mean, in the pitching and on everyday players. So Justin Verlander is my number two. He's 30 years old, 31, give or take. People are still going to draft him in a 14-team league. He's probably at the bottom tier of that first round, or early part of the second round. But in my opinion, there's no way I would draft a pitcher in the first two rounds, at least the first two rounds. Maybe I really have a hard time doing it in the third round because you're trying to load up, and I'm going to say it over and over again, and I'm going to reemphasize it. You're trying to load up on everyday players. You're pitching. The pitching is deep. You'll be able to get pitchers deeper. As you see, more seasoned fantasy baseball players are going to owners, I should say, are going to are going to draft pitchers later because they're going to be loading up on everyday players. So Justin Verlander is my second in projections and how I see the him being drafted. Then we move on to we go to the city of brotherly love. And no, I'm not talking about Roy Halladay. I'm talking about Cole Hamels. I think Cole Hamels will be the third best pitcher this year. And when I'm talking about this, these are things that I'm talking about for both leagues and not just NL or AL. These are just both leagues. And all this stuff is based on head-to-head play, none of that other type of leagues. This is just straight head-to-head play. And I'm going on the one league I play in, which is 11 everyday player categories and 12 pitching categories. I know, I understand. I said, well, he's got 12 pitching categories. Wouldn't it be advantageous to get better pitchers because the more categories you can fill in pitching, the better off you are? I understand that, okay? But I'm telling you over and over and over again that pitching is deep this year. It's very deep this year. Starting pitching is very deep this year, okay? You can get quality pitchers later in the draft, and you can pick up some projected jewels later in the draft, and even some that may be on a waiver wire that for some reason you picked up somebody and you really didn't want them right after the draft, and you realize well, that guy's on it, and you learn something. Just as the fantasy baseball season starts off, and this guy is coming on, or he was a supposed afterthought, but he's like the second or third best pitcher in the bullpen, and he's still sitting on a waiver wire, and for some reason no one has picked him up, and you grab him up real quick. You know what happened? R.A. Dickey was on the waiver wire last year. Believe it or not, he was on the waiver wire last year, and I picked him up off the waiver wire. And look what happened. Look what happened. That's crazy. I couldn't believe it, but it happened. Chris Medlin was on, I think, was on the waiver wire at one point. And we're going to talk about those guys, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. You can pick jewels out, and if you're quick enough, and you learn the information quick enough and fast enough that you can pick them off the waiver wire before someone else does, and it'll benefit your league. And pitching, like I said, is very deep. So let's move on to number three. Like I said, Cole Hamels, not Roy Halladay. I think he's going to be the probably one of the better pitchers on the quite naturally. I got him rated third overall, so we've got to be one of the better pitchers on the Philly staff. He's pretty durable. He consistently does great work. He's still relatively young. He's 29. I see him doing first three guys. I see these guys doing over 200 strikeouts. The only one of the first three, I see him having an ERA over three. I also see Verlander having an ERA over three. But these two guys' whips are a little over one, which is not, you know, which is good, which is great. I think he's going to be a fantastic fantasy ace this year. More pitcher. Now we're going. This is I changed it. This is overall pitching, not just starters. I said pitching. This guy is one of the premier closers of the league, both leagues. He won the 2011 Rookie of the Year award, but he got even better in 2012. His ERA was just a tick, and I'm saying just a tick over one. His whip was outrageous. It was under one. How about 0.65, which is crazy, which is absolutely crazy. And his strikeout to walk rate was crazy too. 16 over 9, almost 17 strikeouts per 9 innings. It's crazy. And Forty-two saves. He's pretty crazy. He's pretty solid. But I see him as the number four pitcher overall, even though he's a reliever. And that's rare company. You put that in there. Now I picked this guy up on I would say on the cheap, in a trade last year. With a combination of players, and I like this guy a lot when he was with Tampa Bay. He's no longer with Tampa Bay. He is with Tampa Bay. I'm sorry. He went to Cy Young. 2012 with a 2.56 ERA. He had 20 wins with just 5 losses, and he had over 200 strikeouts. He's just 27, and he's made and he's a durable pitcher, and he's the ace, and I love David Price, and I don't know if he's going to be overlooked this year, but I think he, for the most part, in my opinion, he was overlooked last year, and he proved to be a bargain, especially when it was a throw-in with a trade I had last year, and he proved to be solid in helping me win my championship, and I'm going to keep on reference to that because the fact is, you got it. If you play fantasy, any type of fantasy, you got to be relentless. You got to stay on top of your game. You got to be able to listen to everything that's going on, sift through all the BS, and pull out the diamonds that are in the rough in there. Pull out the things that are important to you that you feel that will help your team. You got to have some type of forethought, some forward thinking about what you perceive a player to be able to do ahead of your competition. So if you're trying to acquire a player and you think it's an opportunity to do that, package some of what you have to make it look like you're giving up a lot, when in essence, the player you're picking up is a jewel about to be exposed. Before he's exposed, you want to be able to grab him and put him on your squad, to have him be exposed on your squad, and then whoever you get him from is going to say, in awe, you know what, because you grabbed him and the person you grabbed in front didn't realize, because they may have not done their research. They may not have done what is necessary to know what their players are capable of, but you do, and you were able to do that. I wouldn't say that's deceptive, but that's what happens in everyday professional wheeling and dealing in all different sports. So you're just applying it to fantasy. Trust me when I say that. My number six pitcher, he was limited last year. I think he'll be somewhat limited this year. I think they took him to 160 to 180 pitches. I think they're going to do the same thing this year. So buyer beware when you grab this guy. Understand that even though you're going to get quality pitching for the most part of the year, certain part of that year, or after that year, certain part of the season, I should say, what happened this past season is going to may happen this year, meaning Steven Strasburg may get shut down. He's got a very awkward pitching style, which puts a lot of strain on his shoulder and elbow. And he's now he's a year back. From a full year back from Tommy John surgery. And we'll have to wait and see if his his 197 strikeouts and 159 in the third innings, which is the highest strikeout rate of any starter since Cubs Kerry Woods in 2003. If he's going to be able to do that again, or is he going to get shut down for limited innings, just like he got shut down in this past season. So beware of that. You may want to grab him early. Mid-season, you may want to unload him, or grab him and then trade him for a decent pitcher and an everyday player. He's got a name. He's got a big name. Whoever grabs him is taking the chance that he may not be lasting the whole season, just like he didn't last the whole last season. But when you do have him in there, you're going to get, barring injury, dominant performance from Steven Strasburg. Next one from the world champion San Francisco Giants would be Matt Cain. The Giants had a shaky offense for the most part of the year. Their offense came alive in the postseason. Matt Cain was the ace of the I can't remember his name now. Wow. It'll come to me. Not the other kid from San Francisco that everybody was raving about for the last few years. And I can't remember that kid's name. Tim Lincecum. Everybody thought Lincecum was going to be the man. Turns out Matt Cain was the man. I still think he's going to be the man with about over 200 innings, close to 190 strikeouts. His ERA is going to be in the low threes. His whip is going to be in the low ones. And I think he's going to win about 17, 18 games. His average draft position, and I meant to run these down to you because I gave you the first two. Let me give you what I had. I neglected to give that to you before. Clayton Kershaw's average draft position is about 17, 18. And I'm saying this in a 12-team snake draft, okay? Justin Verlander is a little higher in round 14. So in a 12-team league, these two guys are in the second round. In a 14-team league, Verlander is the last pick in the 14th round or the first pick in the second round. Cole Hamels is 42, somewhere around there. So you think that's the fourth round. All right, same with Craig Kimbrell. Now, in my opinion, a reliever in the fourth round, no, not me. I wouldn't do it. Not about me. Some people are going to do it. Some people are going to want that closer, that high up, and not me. David Price, Steven Strasburg, these are all two guys that are in the second round in the third round. Strasburg's average draft position is like 27, 28. So that's in the 12 team. That's in the third round. Strasburg's in the second round, lower half of the second round, 21. Matt Cain, who I've just talked about, is in the is average draft positions between 38 and 39. So we're talking about in the fourth round. That's what I'm talking about. You're talking about like pitchers like Matt Cain, or David Price. David Price is in the third round. Matt Cain is in the fourth round. Okay? That's exactly what I've been talking about. Listen to what I'm saying. You don't have to draft a pitcher in the first two rounds. You don't. You can get quality pitching third, fourth, fifth round. Okay? The next pitcher I'm going to be talking about is Cliff Lee. His average draft position is 45. He had a horrible year last year. Absolutely horrible. What the heck did Cliff Lee win last year? He had a horrible win. What the hell? He only had six wins. He only had six wins last year. Wait a minute. Yeah, he only had six wins last year, which is Cliff Lee's a better pitcher than that, but it was one of those years. One of those years, no matter what he did, he could only notch six wins out of 30 starts, and that's pretty amazing. And he went at least six innings in all but one of his starts. he allowed more than 3 earned runs only 10 times. So I would think that it's extremely unlikely that he's going to repeat what he did in 2013. And I think he's going to be the 8th best pitcher in the league. And I think you can get him in the 4th round. I can think 12-team league, I think you can get him in the 4th round, which makes sense. A lot of people may even get him better lower than that because of what he did last year. People have a long memory and think, well, he had a lousy year. He's on a downside. Well, you have to look at it. That year was extremely an anomaly. There was nothing wrong with him physically. He didn't have any physical problems. He just had a lot of bad pitching luck. A lot of bad pitching luck, and he had to overcome it. So, and with that being said, I think the Phillies are going to be, I wouldn't say the surprise team, but I think they're going to come back. You mean to tell me Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, and Roy Halladay, and the Phillies are not going to play better baseball than they played last year? The whole year of the Phillies, they had a good part of the season, but what really was their whole season was pretty much of an anomaly. They had if I'm not mistaken, they had a hard time scoring runs at times. And pitchers like Cliff Lee had bad luck. And, you like to think that teams can are machines and just crank out these wins and play consistent baseball year in and year out. Sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes you have to think that no matter what you do, it's just not in the cards for you at that time to succeed. And you got to go through some stuff to be able to come out on top the following year. And I think this past year, the Phillies had to do that. So let's move on because I got 20-25 minutes left in the show. So let's move on to the next pitcher, and that would be guy from and this guy. I'm gonna put red flags on him, on this guy. I'm going to put red flags on this guy for the simple reason. I think he's going to pitch around 200 innings. Because of the lineup, I think he may win about 18 games. His ERA is in the low threes, along with his whip. He's 30 years old. But I think his velocity has been waning over the last few years. And I have a funny feeling that this guy, Jarrett Weaver, I have him rated number 9 with a red flag. With a red flag. And it's not to do with the Angels. With a red flag, because I see this guy possibly having a, I wouldn't say a Cliff Lee type of year, but not a Jarrett Weaver type of year. How's that? I think this guy is close to a close to the shaky point that I know he recorded his first 20-win season. Let me put it this way. I know that. But he also ended the year with his worst strikeout rate and swing and miss percentage since his sophomore season in 2007. So that didn't stop him from finishing third in the AL and ERA and in the Cy Young ballot. I just have a sneaky feeling that Jarrett Weaver is not going to have a Jarrett Weaver type of year. Now this guy, next number 10 on the hit list. Oh, okay. Let me get back here. I got somebody on the line here. Welcome to the Master Plan. You're talking to JT. How you doing, my man? McCown, what's up?
What's up, sir?
All right.
What you talking about? You on number 10 of what now?
Baseball.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Baseball pitchers. How you been, my man?
I'm all right. I missed you yesterday.
man, let me tell you something. You know, I've been super busy, and I couldn't get on a Friday show, so we had settled on running a replay of last Friday's show.
Right.
And I had to work yesterday. And I had set up a replay of last week's Saturday show. Quite naturally, when you do a replay, you got to call in to start the show.
Yeah, you got to call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
Hey, you
I got wound up and forgot to call it.
Right.
So
right.
Well, anybody who called in got like, well, what's going on? There's nobody there.
Right. Right.
So, unfortunately, that's what happened. So.
Right.
I apologize to you and apologize to all the listeners that were in the, looking for that show yesterday. But
that's okay,
it is what
bro.
It is. I can't do nothing about it now. So it is
right.
what it is.
Don't even worry about it. You got it.
Hey, well, let me put it this way. Like I said, I was talking about the top 10 pitchers as I see them, and one of the ones I was talking about happens to be down in your area from one of your teams. Not one of your team, but from your team, the Washington team. You talk about Mr. Strasburg.
Okay.
I don't know how well-versed you are in baseball, but I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
Mr. Strasburg was shut down pitching about 100-plus innings, 160-plus innings. Do you think they're going to be doing that same thing, shutting them down? Quite naturally, with all things looking like the Nationals will make the playoffs come September of this season. You think they're going to shut him down like they did last season before they get to the playoffs and not even play him in the playoffs, or you think they're going to give him a shot and have him available for the playoffs?
I'm gonna give you my answer, but I'm gonna come at it in a roundabout way.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on it from an aspect that I'm well-versed on, you know,
okay.
and that's business.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Nationals was projected to bring in $40 million a year.
Right.
They last year, the Washington Nationals was the best team arguably one of the best teams in Major League Baseball last year.
Right.
And they only brought in $10 million. So, they only brought in 10.
Wow.
They only brought in 10. They only generated 10.
Wow.
So, I don't think they're going to be shutting him down.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
I don't think they're going to be shutting him down because he is the face. He is
right.
the face. He is the centerpiece. Him, Bryce, and I forgot the other boy's name, but... yeah, they're gonna have to because they're not selling out. They're not doing as many sellouts as they thought they would. And
well,
they've got to sell them out. They've got to sell them out. I don't know what they're gonna do now. I mean, they won. They went to the they got in the playoffs and didn't do so much as a dick.
Well, being that as May, then, they shut him down last year. You said they're not going to shut them down this year because they were projected to generate $40 million when they only got a quarter of that with $10 million. You think that because of their success last year, that even if they shut them down or not, that they're going to be generating a lot more because what they accomplished?
What I'm saying is they're going to have to figure out something else, and that would be the last thing that they would do. You know what I'm saying? Shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely going to have him play, and they're going to have to figure out other ways to increase their fan base and increase, you know, their money intake, because it's just ridiculous. I mean, because now that whole thing is just making them a laughing stock. Made him a laughing stock. I mean, and with the best record that they had last year,
mm-hmm.
and for them to go out in the first round, laughing stock again. So it gives a bad impression. It gives
mm-hmm.
a very bad impression. And basically, it looked like they fleeced the city of D.C. so far.
Okay. Wow. How could they project $40 million, and who made that projection and only bring in a quarter of that? Wow.
That was the projections that they felt like they were going to be bringing in per year when the proposal was put together for them to, you know, to make this deal.
Oh, okay.
You know, the city of D.C. was supposed to be able to generate $40 million. That's what
mm-hmm.
they projected. They only generated 10.
Wow. Well, I think they're going to be generating more because the fact is the success of the team. There's a lot of, and I'm not saying all DC fans are like this, but there's a lot of front running fans. Once you get success, people want to jump on a bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I don't know if $40 million is going to be accomplished, but I can see getting probably up to $20 million, or close to it. And I don't think that it's predicated on whether Strasburg pitches extra innings or not. I think just because of the success of the team. And the buzz that's going to generate from last season leading up to this season, people are going to be more anxious to watch the team and attend games and buy their merchandise.
Right, but what I'm saying is the last thing they would want to do is to have this fiasco going on and them shutting him down, you know, and not playing and all that kind of carrying on, because it'd be bad for business.
Well, I thought it was bad for business last year to shut them down.
Oh yeah, man, that was horrible.
To do that, I understand. Let me put it this way: I understand both aspects of it, but I really understand that if you want to win baseball games, you got to have be firing all your guns at the same time. You can't have your best gun sitting on the sideline and let the rest of the boys handle the business and think that's going to be kosher because you're trying to save this kid's arm for the future. Well, he
right.
can come out, and like I was saying the last year, you can come out in spring training or the first pitch of the first baseball game that's played and blow out his arm and his career's
yep.
be over.
Yeah.
So
I get that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought once the playoff was in sight, they should have start having them play sparingly. They should have managed that. That it just made too much sense to me. I'm like, okay, what is the big deal here? Just okay, if y'all don't want to do them over 180 games, just go ahead and shut them down now before the playoffs. And then when the playoffs hit, you know, you bring them in.
Right.
Go for broke.
Right.
You go for broke.
Right, because there's no guarantee. There is no guarantee where you're at now you're going to be there again.
Exactly.
So that I think the whoever the powers may be made that assumption. Well, we can save him because we'll probably be in this position again. But there's no guarantee that you get there. A whole lot of things can happen. Look what happened to the Phillies this past year. Their team completely, for the most part, fell apart. Their pitching was all sporadic. They couldn't hit their way out of paper bags at times, and they finished out of the playoffs. And the Phillies were perennial powers in the NL East. So you never know. And you're talking about Cole Hamels, you're talking about Cliff Lee, and you're talking about Roy Halladay as your main three starters on your team, and you still didn't make the playoffs. So
Right. Nothing's
a given, and that's what really was upsetting to me last year when they did that to Strasburg, because nothing's a given. You got Strasburg, you got Gio Gonzalez, and I forget the other pitcher that you got there. But I mean, you got some nice pitching, but you can't just sit one guy because you're afraid that you may blow his arm out. He can blow his arm out in one pitch. So, I mean, whatever. You know, you start running on a freaking tangent here because get me going on that because I can go for that for a while. Anyway, let's go down to what I was talking about. I had ended with or I had either started with Roy Halladay as the number 10 pitcher that I have rated. His velocity was down last year, and quite naturally, his type of pitching, the bite on his pitches, were down also. So he had a sub-3 ERA. He did have 20 wins and well over 200 innings, just like he always has. But Roy Halladay is getting older, he's a little further down on the pitching projections as I see him. Now, this kid here, signed a big, huge contract this past offseason. They're expecting big things from him out in the Pacific Northwest. I'm talking about the King Felix is his name. His name is really Felix Hernandez, pitcher from the Seattle organization. Seattle Mariners. He's projected to get about over 200 strikeouts. His ERA is higher than the first 10 guys. I think his ERA is going to be a little higher than the first 10 guys, still in the low twos. I like Felix Hernandez at my number 11 pitcher. I'm going to gloss over a couple other guys here. Jason Mott, who's a reliever. Fernando Rodney, who's another reliever. This guy, former Met, number 14. R.A. Dickey, Mr. Knuckleball himself, had a phenomenal year. Won the Cy Young. The Mets decided not to re-sign him. He moved on to Toronto, where Toronto is trying to load up and do some things in the AL East. R.A. Dickey had a career year. I'm always leery about guys. I got him rated number 14th, one of the 14th top pitchers in the league, but he's with a red flag because I'm always leery about a guy who's having a career year and people expecting that career year to be followed by another career year. I don't believe it's going to happen. I think he's going to take a step back. What do you think there, Mikel?
I have no idea.
Okay, no problem. No problem. That's no problem at all. I can tell you this. In any sport, okay, and this is how I feel in any sport, basketball, football, baseball, when a guy has a career year, and especially in fantasy, and the following year, I feel that if you draft that guy high, the following year you're chasing last year's numbers. Meaning that more than likely, even though he may have had a career year, that career year is gone and done. If you didn't have him that career year, chances are he's going to take a step back and not have the same type of year that he had before that, because quite naturally it was a career year, unless he's going to set another career high over the career high he set previous year. Most of the time that doesn't happen. Most times guys take a step back, and I think that's what's going to happen to R.A. Dickey, taking a step back. Let's move down here. I'm going to go through these here. Jonathan Papelbon is another reliever, 15. Mariano Rivera, this is 18 years until he finally got a serious injury, what happened to be his knee. 43 years old, said he's coming back in 2013. I don't know what kind of shape he's in, but if he's Mariano Rivera and he's healthy enough to pitch, you think he's got to be pretty solid on what he does. And I'm thinking he's going to get about close to 40 saves, because just the nature of the team there. And I don't know how you feel about Mariano Rivera. A couple picks from here. I'm going to talk about your other pitcher. You got anything about Mariano?
Nah. No Mariano.
No problem. Next pitcher I got, he used to play for the Toronto Blue Jays, and now he's moved on to the Kansas City Royals. James Shields is a decent pitcher. He's not one of the best, but he's a decent pitcher. Really, real good pitcher, let me put it that way. He got him listed at number 17. I see him pitching over 200-plus innings, getting 200-plus strikeouts. His ERA in the mid-threes, which is a little high, but his whip is still low, 1.2, somewhere around there, which is a decent – it's not real great, but it's a decent whip. Let's move him to number 18. You know him very well. This guy is one of the better pitchers in the National League, and he happens to be on the Washington Nationals. I'm talking about Gio Gonzalez, stalwart pitcher. Was the main pitcher when Steven Strasburg was shut down. I see him also pitching over 200-plus innings, winning about 17, 18 games because of that. He has a high strikeout rate, so I think he's going to get about 210, somewhere around there, strikeouts. His ERA is in the low threes. His whip is a little high. 1.23 is a little high, but he's 27 years old, got a young pitching staff. Strasburg's 24, Gio is 23. What do you think about your boy Gio Gonzalez?
I think he's going to stay steady this year. I think he's going to if they work this pitching lineup the way they should. They shouldn't have no problems in making a run again this year. Mm-hmm. And I think Gino is going to be very, very – I think he's going to contribute, you know, a whole lot to that. You know, it's just depending on how they manage it. And hopefully, you know, they can get back there again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's move on to number 19. I had this guy in my fantasy season for quite a while. In fact, I think I ended up with him. Yes, I did. I picked him up. When I drafted him, and I had him through his two stints on the disabled list, but he's pretty steady for the most part. He's from the Yankees. I'm not a Yankee fan, but we're talking about fantasy and money. That makes two differences right there. That I picked this guy up and used him. I'm talking about CC Sabathia. I think he's going to do what he normally does: throw 200 plus innings, have close to 200 strikeouts. Have a ERA close to the mid-threes, and his whip would be a little bit, I wouldn't say high, but it's mediocre whip, 1.19, which is a little high for me. I like something different than that. But this pitcher here, is another red flag. Reason I'm saying that, I haven't rated 19 with a red flag is this. CC Sabathia, when he's healthy, quite naturally, he's one of the better pitchers in baseball. But he served two stints on the disabled list last year, meaning that look for at least one stint. He had lost weight, lost a considerable amount of weight last year to be able to be more fit and stay healthier, and he still had two stints on the disabled list. So high risk, high reward for CC Sabathia. His average draft position is 54, 55, which would put it in the mid-sixth round. And that's probably about right where I would take CC Sabathia. Move on to one of my favorite teams, especially in fantasy. Everyday players, but we're talking about pitchers here. Talking about Wainwright from the St. Louis Cardinals. He's probably going to do the same thing. 200 plus innings. Same about CC, about 180, 190 strikeouts. His ERA, for the most part, is in the very low threes. But his WHIP is a little high for me, 1.17 around there, which is I don't like it. I like it below 1.10, 1.10. But he's a solid pitcher on a team that generates a lot of offense. Let's move down to number 21, Madison Bumgarner, San Francisco Giants. About to say the 49ers. Wow. Anyway, we're talking about baseball. Wainwright and Bumgarner, sixth, seventh round, somewhere around there. Average draft position is in the 60s. So that's a sixth or the seventh round, somewhere around there. So both these guys, next two guys I'm talking about 200 plus innings, same about 180, 190 innings, strikeouts. Bumgarner has a tendency to have a little bit of higher ERA, but the same about a WHIP as Wainwright, 1.167, somewhere around there. Then we move on to another pitcher with a very stacked team, which is going to challenge the whole National League because Magic and company have loaded up and opened up the purses to grab pitchers and everyday players. And they got Zach Greinke on here. And I see Zach Greinke, 29 years old. I see him win about 17, 18 games, throwing about over 200 innings, about 200 strikeouts. Unfortunately, his ERA is in the low threes, which is great, but his WHIP is a little high at 1.19. We got a little bit over a minute. Let's move to I'm not going to pay too much on the relievers, even though I have them listed in the top 25. I'm going to pretty much talk about the starters over the relievers. So Joe Nathan is listed number 23. Chris Sale from the Chicago White Sox. Long, gangly guy that is not, I wouldn't say durable, but he's very small. I think he's 6'6", and he weighs like 190, maybe 200 pounds. He's really a gangly, really a guy that you think the next pitch is he's going to break his arm because he doesn't have, he hasn't built himself up, and I think the reason he hasn't built himself up is because he's more effective the way he is now, long and gangly. He's going to probably pitch less than 200 innings because the fact is he'll spend at least one stint on the disabled list, and win about 14 games somewhere around there. And last but not least, this is a guy I think is probably going to move up. I think he's in for a big year, second year into the league, coming from Japan. I'm talking about Yu Darvish from the Texas Rangers. I think he's going to be pitching a hell of a lot better than he pitched last year. He pitched well, but I think he's going to pitch even better and have a nice year this year. All right, that's 10 seconds left in the show in regular hours, regular time, I should say. And we're going to be closing the show out. Mikal, talk
yes, sir.
To me, man. Tell me what you've been doing. Tell me what you going to happen on your two shows, and I'll give you a chance to promote your shows on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Each and every Wednesday night, we have Grown Soul and Real Talk. We talk about life, sports, politicking, you know, just about everything. Right now, we're in a little bit of a transition, and we got our website coming up, our blog site, which is grownsoul.com. You can find out everything about us there. Right now, we don't have anything up on there, but in the next week or so, should be popping, should be on. But you know what, Jerry? I really called you to talk boxing. I really did.
Okay.
I really did.
Talk to me. Talk to me. We got time. Talk to me.
Did you know that Zab Judah will be fighting in April?
No.
And he's going to be fighting for a title. And he's going to be fighting a formidable opponent in April.
Okay. Who's
that? He's going to be fighting Danny Green. Danny Garcia. He's going to be fighting young Danny Garcia, Puerto Rican gentleman from Philadelphia. And I like both of these dudes. Zab, you know, he's getting up there, but he's still got the skills. You know what I'm saying? He still looks smooth. His jabs and punches still look sweet. I still think he's in that elite class. He just he just can't beat the ones that's on top. You know. This youngin, Danny Garcia, I really like him. He's got some really good skills. His father is a little bit overbearing, but whose father isn't? That's the that's the manager trainer type. So they've got all the intangibles. I think the youngin got the look. He got the good right hook. So I think he's definitely gonna be up and coming. He look real good. So that's gonna be a good fight in April. Next week, Bernard Hopkins returns back to the ring. He's gonna be fighting. He's gonna be fighting the champ, the middleweight champion. I forget Young's name, but he's got a wicked right hand. I don't know what Bernard Hopkins is thinking, because his. The last fight I watched him, I mean, you know, he's very technical, he's very sharp, he's very much in shape, so I don't think he's off. I just don't know what he's thinking, because his production ain't the same. It was like he was sitting there trying to seek out a jab and the right hand, but he was on every time. You know, every time he's waiting for the dude, setting him up. You know what I'm saying? So it was there, but I just kept getting my father fighting me type thing, and he just waiting for me to mess up and then catch him. But he was catching him. That's the thing. He was catching him. He wasn't throwing like no big combinations type thing. It was like one punch, sit back and just wait and hold on that right hand and work them around the ring a little bit. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out. I'm definitely going to be watching that.
Bernard Hopkins will have a light heavyweight title fight March 9th on Showtime against Tavares Cloud.
Tavares Cloud, yeah, that's his name. Tavares Cloud. Tavares Cloud is pretty nice. He's nice.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't nothing to sneeze at. I know half the public ain't never heard of him before. And the other half didn't know he was the champion. So it is a championship fight. It is a big fight. It really is. It really is a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're doing it on pay-per-view. I think they're showing it live on Showtime.
Let me see. Hold on, man. Let me see if this is right or not. I can't see it here, but I would probably see it's probably live on Showtime. I think you're right. I don't think it's a pay-per-view fight.
Right.
But that should be pretty interesting. What, Bernard Hobson's what, 47, 46 years old, something like that?
Yeah, man. 46.
That's crazy.
46 years old.
But he's 48.
But what makes it even worse, though, man, that dude got a 28-inch waistline. 28!
Wow.
Slim, I ain't had a 28-inch waistline since I was in the eighth grade. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I ain't had that since I was in the eighth grade. Man, what?
What?
And
he's right.
40, he's 48 doing that thing?
Right.
So I definitely want to see that, see how that play out, see if any of his skills have diminished and see if he could put it down again. Of course, May 5th, my man Floyd Money Mayweather will be leaving HBO and will be on Showtime, and he will be fighting Robert Guerrero, which is going to be a good fight. It's going to be a good fight. Hell of a marketing move, you know. Mayweather always seems to fight on Cinco de Mayo, and he seems to always pick a Latino or Hispanic to fight on that day. Hellified marketing by him. I suspect he'll win this fight.
Where's he fighting at? Vegas?
Yeah, Las Vegas. They fighting in Vegas.
May 4th, May 5th. May 5th is my birthday. Cinco de Mayo day. So
Cinco de Mayo is your birthday? Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So May 4th. That's Showtime. Wow. Pay per view. Robert Guerrero is on that card, along with Daniel Ponce de Leon versus Abner Meares. And that's Ponce de Leon's WBC featherweight title. So there's two title fights, a welterweight title and a featherweight title that night.
Right.
So.
Right. Ponce de Leon is pretty sweet. He's pretty
nice.
Yeah. This is a youngin that's from out here, from Capitol Heights, that's close to that division that I want to see. I want to see him fight some more. I got to watch him last night. Gary Russell Jr. He was pretty. He got some nice hands. I'm worried about his defense. His defense looked a little suspect, but he on the rise. Watch out for him. And of course, Adrian Broner, always sharp. I can't wait to see him. I would like to see him fight some more. Some major hitters, you know, some more major fights. Yeah, because he looked pretty good. He looked like he just be in there devastating them folks.
Yep, he looks like he's totally outclasses whoever he gets in the ring with. So
definitely.
All right, anything else?
Nah, I think that's it.
How's your adventure been going, man? I know you've been doing. You took a leap of faith. So you expecting big things from yourself, so.
Yeah, not big things, modest things. We're not expecting big things. We're expecting modest things and taking, you know, one thing at a time. Like I said, you know, it's been taking me a little bit of time to put together this blog site and getting more guest bloggers to come on and feature their articles and stuff like that and just really talk about, you know, different things. So,
mm-hmm.
In the process of putting together my online empire, it's taking a little bit of time.
Okay.
But, you know, it'll be one step at a time. One step at a time.
All good steps.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we're going to be getting out of here. I appreciate you calling in and spending some time so we can talk to each other.
You got
it. It's always a pleasure. I always like to close this show out. Life's a fear without go. With what goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, He can pull you down. You never know who you will need, and when you will need him in your future. So be careful how you treat people. I don't burn any bridges, and it behooves you not to burn any bridges also, because you never know when you have to walk that bridge, back over that bridge. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Be safe. Be kind to your fellow man. And with that being said, peace. I'm out.
And get in touch with EC. Give him the message, give him a red alert. Tell him I need him, tell him it's time to work. Tell him I'm home, thinking of my profits. Going out in the world to teach knowledge to the brothers and sisters that don't know about the mother, about the right way to go. Stop them from selling out. Teach them what pride is all about. Go out and tell them it's time to take a stand. YZ is working, thinking of a master plan.